Welcome back inside the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon live from the Mandalay Bay Resort Race and Sportsbook. My partner Wes Reynolds down the street at the South Point inside the VEASAN studios. College football Saturday underway and a lot of action, Wes. Despite some canceled games, that's kind of a normal thing now. We still have plenty of action to, of course, report on, give you the in-game wagering opportunities. And I believe a good opportunity, Wes, was catching those Cincinnati Bearcats. After UCF got out to that 14-3 lead, Cincinnati has now come back to make this a real contest. Just 14-13 now, UCF hanging on to a one-point advantage. Cincinnati is a 3.5-point favorite now in game with just a couple of minutes before the half, and Central Florida does have the ball first and 10 on offense.
Yeah, and UCF, after those first two touchdowns, has really done nothing offensively. They had a fumble. Cincinnati didn't score off of it. And then the next drive, a punt, another punt, and then a turnover on downs. And now had to just punt it away to the Bearcats again. 2:06 left to go in the first half. UCF was out big, but now 14-13, hanging to a one-point lead.
And how about Northwestern and Wisconsin? Finally, Northwestern is able to take advantage of one of those turnovers, a second interception. I believe Wisconsin has three turnovers now, and they finally turn this one into points, and now they go ahead 14-7 up on Wisconsin.
That's four turnovers now for the Badgers, two picks and two fumbles, and Northwestern out 14-7. About 30 seconds left to go. Wisconsin trying to see if they can get on the other side of the field, and they get to the 50, so have 26 left to potentially get a field goal attempt. Northwestern obviously taking advantage of the turnovers here and up 14-7 on the Badgers.
Wes, I don't know if I missed it. I don't know if Central Florida had a turnover, but now Cincinnati is on offense. I don't know if I was looking at this wrong, but the Bearcats are in business trying to take the lead in this ball game. Did you see that?
They punted on the last drive, and
okay.
Cincinnati did get a 35-yard pass on their first play of the drive, and then incomplete next time around. So second and 10 at the UCF 35 is UCF caught the Bearcats sleeping, but now here comes Cincinnati. Defense taking over Cincinnati, and a missed tackle. UCF had him wrapped up, the tight end for Cincinnati, and the Cincinnati kid just pulled away from him and goes into the end zone. Now 19-14 with extra point pending. Maybe they go for two here, but it is a touchdown. 1:32 left to go. Had him wrapped up. Looked like he had him stopped at the Cincinnati tight end. He didn't stop. He didn't hear a whistle. So he kept running and runs right into the end zone here. And speaking of running into the end zone, that would be the Oregon Ducks here at the end of the first half. And that will be to take the lead at the half. A pick six on the last play from scrimmage in the first half. 23-21. Extra point will be pending. So UCLA had all the momentum, but the Ducks get back into the game, and now we'll have the lead going into the locker room.
Yeah, some Bearcats backers here at the Mandalay Bay as they were shouting and screaming for that touchdown. 19-14 right now. They're reviewing that play. Maybe he stepped out of bounds, but a minute and 32 seconds left before halftime. Cincinnati looking to go into the locker room with the lead. 19-14 right now, again, under review, and then, of course, you have an extra point to follow. Northwestern, we mentioned, up on Wisconsin now 14-7, and Iowa State really just hammering Kansas State West 21-0 in favor of the Cyclones.
Yeah, and Iowa State, of course, did take the money here, and it looks like that money was absolutely rightfully placed. You remember Kansas State was a double-digit underdog a couple weeks ago to Oklahoma State and easily covered that one. Look, and they're very good trend-wise as an underdog and have been for many years there in Manhattan, Kansas. But Iowa State took the money. Iowa State currently the leader right now in the Big 12. So what happens with Bedlam later tonight obviously is going to matter. Iowa State, of course, with a win already over Oklahoma. Extra point, by the way, was good. 24-21, your halftime score at Austin Stadium. Ducks are going to be ahead of the Bruins. So we are looking at this review here in Cincinnati. Those points look like they got taken off the board here. I am looking at the replay, trying to kind of keep my head on a swivel for these monitors here to see why, in fact, that touchdown did get taken off. But it has been taken off the board. Receiver, I think, was going to be out of bounds anyway on that touchdown. So get you an update on that. But yeah, Iowa State up 21-0 now over Kansas State. It was a first down. He did step out of bounds. So no touchdown, but the Bearcats currently in the red zone, 1:29 left to play.
Yeah, 1:29 left to go before the half, and they are facing first and 10, and it looks like some sort of penalty here will delay the progress of Cincinnati as they now trail 14-13, the touchdown taken off the board there. California still leading 17-14 over Oregon State. Just a minute left there in Corvallis before the halftime break. It is halftime in Happy Valley, and boy, the Nittany Lions not very happy today. 24-7, they trail the Hawkeyes of Iowa. San Diego State and Nevada West, this looks like a good ball game. 21-16 in favor of the Aztecs. They are 4.5-point favorites in the live market.
Yeah, I'm going to circle back to the Iowa-Penn State really quickly. Penn State did take the money on the close, and they've beaten Iowa five straight times. Of course, Penn State with an 0-4 start this season. Will Levis did get the start at quarterback in place of Sean Clifford. Numbers not bad necessarily for Levis, 13 of 16, 106 yards, also 13 carries for 43 yards and no turnovers. That's why really Penn State made the move from Sean Clifford. But Penn State, you know, that's why I did not back them today. I didn't get involved with the game because you don't know if they've quit on the season. Because this is now three straight weeks. Now, they came back against Nebraska and made a game of it. Maybe they do the same today, but they've gotten behind big very early, and Iowa all over them, 24-7 here at the half. Very, very surprising to see such poor play out of Penn State. Penn State minus one for the second half, 21 your second half total. Cincinnati also into the end zone. Desmond Ridder, a touchdown run. They will go for two here. It is 19-14, 1:23 left to go. And that two is incomplete. So still 19-14 Bearcats. UCF, two timeouts remaining, 1:23 left to go before the half.
Yeah, they do punch it in the end zone on their second attempt there. As you mentioned, they go for a two-point conversion there. It fails, 19-14. Cincinnati now in the lead over UCF. Pittsburgh hanging on to a lead over Virginia Tech, 9-7 in favor of the Panthers here, who went off as about 6.5-point underdogs. This one in Pittsburgh, the Hokies coming to town, trailing by two, 9-7 your current score. And Alabama, not the real big part for the Crimson Tide over Kentucky right now, Wes, 14-3, and not long ago it was 7-3 for the better part of the first quarter and into the second quarter. Now just 4 minutes before halftime, Alabama sluggish start, not that typical Alabama in the first half bet that has been a winner so often.
Yeah, and just as we say that, Najee Harris 42 yards into the end zone for the Tide, 21-3 Alabama.
There's timing for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Great timing there, Najee Harris into the end zone, 21-3, your current score, 4 minutes left to go. Alabama did close, by the way, for those that might be interested in the first half of this, minus 21, 32 was your total. So Kentucky going to have 4 minutes to either score or bleed enough clock to where Alabama can't get another score for the end of the first half if you bet the Wildcats.
Well, it looks like the Crimson Tide are finally finding their stride there. Again, now up 21-3 on Kentucky. Still about 3.5 minutes left to go before the halftime break. Let's take a look at some games coming up a little bit later this evening. Wes, we touched on many of the 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern starts, but we did not talk about the 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern start. Not quite Pac-12 after dark. We'll save that one for the Utah-USC matchup. But in Seattle, we have the Washington Huskies hosting Arizona, and Washington laying nearly a dozen here, coming off of that victory last week over Oregon State. Arizona really hasn't had much opportunity to play. They were canceled week one. What do you think about this one? Are you going to lay the points or take them?
Number looks right here. I was actually more impressed with Arizona in defeat last week to USC, where it looked like they were going to get blown out and then made a game of it and actually forced USC. USC was life and death just to win for the second week in a row. And then, of course, they did 34-30 was your final score. Washington got the win over Oregon State and really outplayed them in the stats, but really couldn't pull away from the Beavs, who have already given up a lead today to Cal. Cal leads 20-14 at the half, despite the fact that the Beavs had a 75-yard touchdown run on the first play from scrimmage. But I didn't know what to make of this. And Washington, new head coach with Jimmy Lake. Of course, he's been on the staff there under Chris Peterson as a defensive coordinator. But oftentimes there's a transition when you, figuratively speaking, move one seat over from a coordinator position to a head coach position. So I didn't know what to make of it. I thought Arizona was better than I thought that they were going to be last week, but I don't know if that was an aberration or not. I don't know yet enough about these two teams, haven't seen enough of them. So this is going to likely be a pass for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Arizona was very impressive against USC, and Washington, I just don't know yet. Are they going to be the Washington that we're used to, that is a very typically very good football team, powerful, physical team? I'm just not sure yet. So we will find out more when that one kicks off, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And then Pac-12 After Dark will take place up in Utah, Salt Lake City. Our friend Stormy Bonantoni on the coverage there, Wes, as they welcome the Trojans of USC to town. And here at BetMGM, USC is a 2.5-point road favorite with a total of 58.
Yeah, interesting spot here. And I kind of lean to the Utah side. Hopefully a three will show, or maybe you have to buy it up at this standpoint. But haven't played it as of yet. I was trying to wait to see where it was going to go. The team that has not played this year has had an advantage over the team that's played. And you would think it would be the other way around with a lot of these scenarios. When you get to pop pads with another team, you get a game under your belt. Conventional wisdom would tell you, okay, that's an advantage over a team that is going to be playing their first game and has to get over the first game jitters. But the team that hasn't played has had the opportunity to study a team on film, whereas Utah, the only film USC is going to have on Utah is film from previous seasons. So the Utes maybe could have the advantage in terms of the preparation. USC, kind of a tepid favorite at this point, considering that they were life and death to beat Arizona State. They had to come back from two scores down in the fourth quarter. They had to score on the final drive to beat Arizona last week in a game that you thought was going to be kind of the bounce back game after USC got their scare. Well, what did they do? They multiplied that with another scare in the second week. So USC, though, they're still 2-0. You don't apologize for victories, 2-0 in the conference, but tough spot here to go to Utah. We know Kyle Whittingham. This team's very well coached. They usually run the ball very effectively, and they're usually very good defensively. So I don't disagree with this early move to Utah, but I have not bet this game as of yet.
And while you're watching Pac-12 After Dark, you can then flip over to Boise State in Hawaii to take on the Rainbow Warriors. The get even or get even deeper game, as our friend Patrick Everson likes to say, Wes. Boise State laying 2 touchdowns here. Hawaii is actually seeing a little bit of money pretty much across the board, including here at BetMGM. Hawaii is down to a 13.5-point underdog. The total in this game at 55.
Yeah, and Boise State, 3-1 start. Hank Bachmeyer, of course, back, did miss the first couple games at quarterback for Boise. So, not surprising. I think that this line is relatively accurate here. Hawaii 2-2 did get boat raced pretty easily by San Diego State. But good bounce back for Boise against Colorado State. Now, one of the reasons I think you're seeing Hawaii take a little bit of money here is because that final score against Colorado State was a little bit misleading. Boise State had 3 special teams touchdowns in that game, which obviously is going to inflate the number. But on the Hawaii side, side, they failed to cover three straight. They got dominated by San Diego State, as I mentioned earlier. It was 28-0 at halftime. Boise State has dominated the series here in recent years, 7-0 straight up and against the spread against Hawaii since 2019. New coach in Hawaii with Todd Graham, the former Arizona State top gun. Number Brady looks pretty right to me. You know, we'll see if I want to do the get even or get even deeper situation at the end. I would lean to Hawaii in that spot, but I think the number's probably right here.
Going back over a couple of scores, Iowa State shutting out Kansas State, and they're tacking on another touchdown here, 28-0 in favor of the Cyclones. Still 3 minutes left to go before halftime there. If you laid the 52 with the Cougars of BYU today, you're almost there. Need about another 10 points or so. 49-7, BYU out in front of North Alabama. 4 minutes left to go, still in the third quarter there up in Provo. Southern Miss is trailing UTSA 23-10. Florida International trailing Western Kentucky 38-21. And the Pitt Panthers add to their lead over Virginia Tech, now 16-7. Pittsburgh leading the Hokies at home. We'll come back and continue the college football scoreboard, get you some in-game lines as we roll on throughout the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back to the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. He's over at the studio inside the South Point Hotel and Casino and Spa. I'm here at the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook. Come on down, say hello. It's a good crowd here on hand for a college football Saturday, and not so good for the Kansas State Wildcats, Wes. This is just becoming a whitewashing here as Iowa State gets in the end zone again, now up on Kansas State 35-0. Also, they have gone to halftime between Central Florida and Cincinnati. Central Florida has a nice drive going down in the final seconds before halftime. They have to settle for a field goal. Now 19-17 in favor of Cincinnati in what has really been a good ball game. The most of the second quarter was dominated by the Bearcats, West, but good for Central Florida to come back there and get a little momentum going into the locker room.
Yeah, 3 points that they needed. 19-17, they got out very early, two quick touchdowns, but nothing doing ever since then. Alabama, by the way, is into the end zone, 46 seconds left to go, 28-3. And there we go again, that first half number, 21. Look, they're going to still lay it. The bettors are going to lay it if they're going to cover it. And that's what Alabama does. Kentucky wasn't able to sustain a drive and run that time down or put up any points on the board. So Alabama 28-3, 46 seconds left to go. No look ahead for the Crimson Tide. I didn't get involved within this one. I would have been on Kentucky here, but no look ahead to the Iron Bowl next week. Alabama, Nick Saban's got his guys completely focused off that unexpected bye week that they had last week. They were supposed to play LSU. That game got postponed due to COVID-19. So Alabama looking like they're going to stay at number one for yet another week.
That's amazing, covering that first half Alabama, which it looks like they're going to do. I mean, that game was 7-3 for a long time, and then it was 14-3 for a long time, and then it became 28-3 in about the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, Kentucky, they got scored on, and then there were about 4 minutes left to go. So you're like, okay, they got to get a couple first downs at least. And what does Kentucky do? Go three and out, three plays, 6 yards and a punt. Alabama gets the ball back, 2:13 left to go. And with this high-paced offense the Tide now have that Steve Sarkisian calls the plays for, you know, that's no time for Alabama when you've got Mac Jones. It used to be Alabama was kind of a 3 yards in a cloud of dust team, and they would run the football a lot. So weren't exactly a juggernaut offensively. Their defense and their special teams would really carry the day. Now it's their offense as Mac Jones hits Mechie for 18 yards out, 28-3. Kentucky looks like they're just going to pretty much run out the clock and get to the locker room. So Alabama first half is going to cash for their backers.
Yeah, nowadays they're churning out wide receivers like Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. We'll see Ruggs in action right across the street at Allegiant Stadium on Sunday as the Raiders host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. 3 minutes left before halftime in Pittsburgh, and Virginia Tech is back on the board, Wes. Now 16-14, Pittsburgh with just a 2-point advantage there. This has been a pretty good ball game as well.
Yeah, shootout, which I don't want being on the under here. I didn't expect it to be that. I got the better of the number, but all that closing line value means nothing when you're not cashing tickets. So got a couple points of the better of the total here, but 16-14, this was a really slow start, only 6-0 here in the after the first quarter, but shootout here in the second quarter. Virginia Tech with 14, Pittsburgh with 10 on the board. Pitt now already in Virginia Tech territory here, looking to add more.
Wes, do you have any halftime lines there? We've got a number of games at the break. Wisconsin, Northwestern, Cincinnati, Central Florida, UCLA, Oregon, California, Oregon State, and also San Diego State at Nevada.
Yeah, Wisconsin -4.5 for the second half, 21.5 your total. Northwestern, of course, up 14-7. Oregon -7 for the second half, 31 your second half total, 24-21, by the way, the halftime score, Ducks leading. Cal 20-14 up in Corvallis at Oregon State. Cal -0.5 for the second half, 24.5 your second half total. San Diego State leading up in UNR 21-16. Aztecs pick 'em -$1.25 for the second half, 24.5 your total. Cincinnati at UCF, Bearcats up 19-17 in Orlando. Cincinnati -3 for the second half, 32 your second half total.
-3 on Cincinnati. That's kind of interesting. That calls for a 5-point victory, which is just about where the
right
number closed prior to kickoff. We'll come back and preview some NFL for your Sunday here while a lot of these games are at the half. It's the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. With so many games every weekend, VSiN is here to help you keep the latest lines and smart bets. And now you can get an amazing holiday deal, 25% off an annual subscription. Bet with confidence every weekend using all the tools that we have to offer. 24/7 video streaming, point spread weekly, daily email updates with best bets from every show host and guest, 20% off items in the VSiN store, plus every betting guide we create, including the College Hoops Guide, which is coming out later this month. It's the gift that keeps giving year-round. Start improving your sports betting IQ now. Visit vsin.com/subscribe and save 25%. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. I'm Brady Cannon live at the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook. Wes Reynolds down the street at the VSiN Studios at the South Point. Wisconsin and Northwestern are back from the halftime break. Wes, still 14-7 in favor of Northwestern, but Wisconsin gets the ball first out of the break, and they're on a little bit of a drive here, not quite past midfield yet, facing second and short. The turnovers have been the problem for Wisconsin in the early going here, 4 of them in the first half.
Yeah, -3 turnover margin isn't going to win you many games, so Badgers fortunate probably to just be down by 7. A couple halftime lines want to get to. We mentioned that Cincinnati, it is all Cincinnati money here for the second half. Of course, the Bearcats do get get the ball first. And momentum seemed to switch there in that second quarter, but they're not being shy about betting Cincinnati now, all the way up to 3.5 at some places, three minus $1.20 at BetMGM on the Bearcats. Alabama up 28-3 at halftime over Kentucky. Alabama now minus 12 for the second half. That would essentially make them minus 37 for the game. So, look, you got to, if you want to take Kentucky, you got to take an offense that really hasn't produced, not only today, but over the last several weeks. But does Alabama, you wonder if Nick Saban is very judicious with his substitutions and playing his second and third unit guys, but his second and third unit guys might be better than Kentucky's first unit guys. So that's not one I'm going to get involved in. I would initially look at the Kentucky side just in the spot, but the spot doesn't always matter when you're going against the Crimson Tide. Alabama minus 12, minus 24 for the second half. 35-0 Iowa State over Kansas State. Iowa State minus 4, 20.5 for the second half numbers.
Wes, let's move over to the NFL and take a quick peek at Sunday. We were speaking with Jeff Stoneback earlier about the Dolphins visiting the Denver Broncos, and they're a road favorite. 3.5 is the number. There were some threes out there very early. It quickly went to 3.5. I'm even seeing some fours that have danced around in the market. And we spoke about this. I made this line 6, and I know that everybody's going to be on the Dolphins, but you're a guy that likes to go towards the stink sometimes. Do you have the cojones to do it in this case?
I do, and I'm holding my nose with the Denver Broncos getting the 3 in the hook here. Look, the Raider game last week, a lot of it was the Drew Lock turnovers that made it more lopsided than it was. If you recall, late in the first half, going into halftime, Drew Lock bounces it outside for a touchdown run. They call Noah Fant, the tight end, on a hold. Drew Lock was already in the end zone while Fant was holding the Raider defender and didn't get his arms to the inside, was holding on the outside. Easy call for the official. So that took the touchdown off the board. And then what happened the next play? Drew Lock threw an interception. So, you know, he's been kind of the master of garbage time, really. He puts a lot of yards and some points up when they're behind, even though that helped them come back against the Chargers a couple weeks ago. Just maybe a different tread here for Miami. Miami does get that win at Arizona, and then they were a small home favorite, which they haven't been very often. The only time I think they were favorite was against the Jets, and Jets, the only winless team in football, so you don't really necessarily count that as indicative of a team in terms of their market price. But Chargers got the money last week. Miami did get the cover and led pretty much throughout. But now this is a little bit of a different territory for them, having to go on the road and lay points. Now all of a sudden there's expectations in Miami. They're 6-3 on the season. They're right in that wild card race. They're still behind Buffalo in the AFC East, but absolutely, they're talking potential playoffs in Miami with the additional wild card spot this year. But I think when a team is not used to that, when they're not used to being at a certain market price, and that's being a road favorite here, those are sometimes spots I like to go against. And despite the fact that you have to do it with Denver and Drew Lock, that's the way I'm going to go here and take the 3 in the hook with Denver. And I think you could even see 4 on this game. I expect Miami is going to be a very popular play.
Yep, I hear everything you're selling there. I couldn't do it. I played the Dolphins, and this, I talked about this with Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. I think this is also a big advantage for coach and quarterback here. I think Brian Flores has been outstanding, comes from the Bill Belichick tree, one of the few very successful coaches from that Belichick tree. Of course, Mike Vrabel also doing very well with Tennessee. But the combination of Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa, I kind of give a big edge to Drew Lock and Vic Fangio. Let's talk about those Jets. The Jets are going to be at Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego there, Wes. They are in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium to take on the Chargers. And you talk about unfamiliar territory. The Chargers laying nearly double digits here. We haven't seen that all season long, but of course they are playing the Jets. This might be a chance for the Jets to avoid an 0-16 season.
Yeah, I don't know if I want any part of it, though. This is one I'm probably going to stay away from. Remember, the Chargers, they were big favorites against Jacksonville, and Jacksonville was up on them late into the third quarter, and then that momentum absolutely turned on a dime, and the Chargers got a cover at the big number against Jacksonville. So this isn't totally new territory for them. I think the Chargers are better than a 2-7 record. They've done what the Chargers do and what they've done pretty much, it seems like, the last decade. They get in these close games, and it's like this. It could only happen to the Chargers. There's always a bunch of really funky stuff that happens in these lightning bolt games late, and they end up in this position. So maybe the Chargers are going to take this as, hey, we finally got a team that we can maybe beat the you-know-what out of and take advantage of it. But the Jets did show life. They very easily could have beaten the Patriots on Monday night a couple weeks ago. Didn't get it done. You got to know that a team that, even though they're winless, is going to keep trying. What is the Chargers' mindset, though? Do they stay with the season? They know that they should be better than 2-7, but they're not. So they pretty much know that their playoff hopes are out the window. So I don't really want to lay it, and I don't really want to take it either. So I'm going to leave this one alone.
Yeah, I completely agree. I left this one alone as well. Oregon has added a score. They now lead UCLA 31-21, and Nevada has taken the lead over San Diego State 23-21. We'll come back and update more here inside the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the sports betting network. New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when they place a $1 wager on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Sign up and use the bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this offer. Get ready for showtime. Download the app today. Use the promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any pro football team to score a touchdown. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Final segment here of the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. Before we pass the baton to the AA battery, that's Amal Shah and Adam Candy. They are coming up next with In Game Live. Continue the conversation of college football scoreboard updates and in-game wagering opportunities. And Wes, the second half underway in a lot of these games we have been tracking this afternoon. Before we went to break, I mentioned that Oregon has now taken back the lead from UCLA, 31-21, and boy, the momentum has certainly shifted here. They get the pick six on the final play of the first half, and then they add to the scoring here. The Ducks look to be in control in the early part of the second half.
Yeah, UCLA, though, has moved into Oregon territory, and we'll get the injury report here. Star defensive end Kayvon Thibodeau down on the field for the Oregon Ducks. He was the number one recruit 2 years ago nationally. Is being attended to, so we'll have to see what that injury is. They've now gone to a commercial break for that UCLA-Oregon telecast. Currently, Oregon up 31-21 over the Bruins. Of course, get a touchdown here in the second half. That pick six, though, at the end of the first half gave the Ducks a lead. Ducks currently -9.5 at BetMGM, -$1.50 on the VIG, 77.5 your current total in Autzen.
And how about the Hawkeyes of Iowa? They keep it going at Happy Valley over Penn State. 31-7 now, Iowa out in front of Penn State, and they are an 18.5-point favorite in the in-game market. Also underway in Orlando, Central Florida, hosting the Bearcats of Cincinnati. The 5-2 Knights taking on the undefeated Bearcats. And Cincinnati got the ball first coming out of the half, Wes. What's an update that you show there on your screen?
Yeah. False start. They're pinned deep in their own territory. This is the first drive of the second half for the Bearcats. Still 19-17. One more score to update too. UNR, the Wolfpack, have taken the lead over San Diego State 23-21 currently in the second half. That was a very low total that looks like that's going to sail over. A very high scoring game up in Reno today. Nevada -1.5, -$1.34. San Diego State +1.5, +105 on the take back. The kid, Dubes, the receiver of for Nevada, I've watched them enough this year. Dubes is a dude. 4 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. This guy looks like a pro for the Wolfpack as they have 2-point lead over the Aztecs about midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, I've enjoyed watching both of these programs. Of course, they're not brothers, but the Bell brothers, if you will, down there for San Diego State. A couple good clubs coming out of the Mountain West butting heads today in what looks to be a good ball game. Nevada, again, out in front by just 2 points. Also, Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh have gone to the half. Pittsburgh hanging on to the lead here, Wes. This is another good game. I know you're rooting for the under. 23-14 in favor of the Panthers at the break.
Yeah, and this is one of the signs of handicapping college football in the COVID 2020 era. Virginia Tech gets all the money when it's announced that Pittsburgh's going to be down 7 starters, 16 players overall on their roster. So this was about 3 for most of the morning. Then all of a sudden that comes out. People bet the injury news. It closes 6.5, as high as 6.5 in the market. So far, Pitt Panthers 23-14 over Virginia Tech. That is now going into the second half. Virginia Tech going to be -5 at BetMGM, 28 for the second half total. I wouldn't be shocked to see Virginia Tech get the money again as bettors look like they may try to double up as UCLA now down to the goal line. They're going to be a yard short, second and goal, 31-21 Ducks, but Bruins in position here. Thibodeau did stand up, and he is well. I was updating the injury on the Oregon defensive end. So he now looks like he's good to go. Going to have to try to get his defense to get a stop here. Is UCLA on the doorstep here to try to make it a one-score game.
Speaking of needing the defense to get a stop, Central Florida for sure. This could be a turning point of the ball game early in the second half here as Cincinnati faces a third and I want to say about 4 in their own territory at their own 40-yard line. Cincinnati really grabbed the momentum in this game and they'll grab a first down right there as the drive continues. About 12.5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Central Florida really going to have to pick it up on defense if they plan on keeping this thing close. California and Oregon State, the Bears out in front 20-17. They are 3.5-point favorites in the in-game market, and I'm not sure Kansas State wanted to come out for the second half, but they have started the second half there in Ames, Iowa, and Iowa State out in front of K-State 35-0. Kansas State will get the ball on offense to start the second half. Let's get back to the previews for NFL Sunday, Wes, and I'll go to your Colts, the Packers and the Colts. I actually made the Packers a favorite in this game. I can't remember if it was 2 or 2.5, but I made them the favorite and it came out as Indianapolis by a 2 or 2.5-point favorite. So I definitely did grab the Packers and I actually grabbed them teaser style up to 8.5, catching 8.5 points. What is your take on this game?
Yeah, this is one I've already teased up through the key numbers of 3 and 7. Look, the market is really high on the Colts right now. They remember against Baltimore, they flipped to the favorite and then they lost. And then short week against Tennessee, they were about a 2, 2.5-point underdog on the opener. They took the money, flipped to the favorite. And that time it was the right money because they won 34-17 and really dominated Tennessee in all three phases. Good game for Phillip Rivers, good game for the defense. The special teams got a touchdown. Now they get Green Bay in off a non cover is a big favorite over Jacksonville. Green Bay did dominate the game more than the final score indicated, 395 to 260 yard edge. You know, neither team has really played the murderer's row of the schedule, which kind of the Colts are in right now with two games with the Titans. You've obviously played the Ravens and now get the Packers. So we've talked about that over the past several shows. This November is a difficult schedule for Indianapolis, and it's going to maybe show you whether they're kind of a contender in the AFC or a pretender. And they're kind of, I think, right in the middle of that. You really haven't distinguished either side as of yet, but yeah, I like the Packers here on the teaser. I still may bet it outright. I didn't use it in the contest or anything. I'm sure that'll be relatively popular. Total now at 51. I don't disagree with the move necessarily to the over, but you are getting a Green Bay team that's off kind of a weakish performance, if you want to say, against Jacksonville. So, You know, the Colts are priced. The money is high on the Colts, but we saw it earlier today. It was 2.5. So some money has come in on the Packers, as now you're seeing 1 in a lot of places in the market, including right here at BetMGM.
Wes, what about the Cowboys in Minnesota to take on the Vikings? I think this is kind of an interesting game to handicap, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. I made the Vikings a 10.5 point favorite, and here they are anywhere from 7 to 7.5 point favorites. The Cowboys have seen some money. Listening to a numbers game with Gil Alexander, I enjoy that show every Monday during football season when he does guessing lines with our friend Chris Andrews, and Chris said his power ratings came to the Vikings as 16 point favorites. So maybe my 10.5 wasn't so off, but you know, we haven't seen the Cowboys in a couple weeks. Andy Dalton is expected to be back at quarterback. Do you have an opinion on this one?
I do. And I took the 7 in the hook with the Cowboys here. The Ginger Ninja, Andy Dalton, is back under center for Dallas. I think that gives them a better chance, at least, than certainly Ben DiNucci or Garrett Gilbert did, even though Garrett Gilbert was admirable, I thought, in the Pittsburgh game. But this is one of those where the Cowboys come off that bye week. That was probably the best thing that could happen to the Dallas Cowboys, is to have a bye week and try to salvage something here. Look, as absurd as it is, 2-7, they're not out of the NFC East by a long shot. Nobody seems to be running away with that division. The New York Giants probably play in the best football of the four right now, but Minnesota now has won 3 in a row. They did win on Monday night, and a lot of money came against them. The Bears had a decent amount of support for a Monday night underdog, and now they cover, and they win outright. So Kirk Cousins gets that monkey off his back where he hadn't won on Monday night. He was 0-9 dating back to his days with the Washington football team. He gets that win. So now I think you're getting, despite what you said about the power ratings, you're getting Minnesota priced very high in the market here. And I'm just not quite convinced. I mean, Dalvin Cook has been running well, but the defense is still a little bit shaky, although they put up good numbers against the Bears, but the Bears can't move the football at all, and they can't run the ball a lick and had a lot of injuries. So I did take Dallas plus 7.5 here, and I would like the over here in the spot as well. It already has jumped to 48. I still would probably play it at 48, despite the fact that it opened 46.5.
All right, we'll see if we can squeeze in the Sunday nighter here, Wes. The Raiders hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, we all know about Andy Reid off of a bye week. He's very successful in that role. And they're also playing with revenge. Their only loss suffered this year came to the Raiders. I made this line 5.5 before all the COVID news came out about the Raiders, but now this game has me wanting to stay a ways away.
Yeah, I only played the Chiefs on a teaser here, teasing through the down through the 3 and the 7. Raiders are getting some guys activated from the COVID list, so it looks like the news isn't as bad on that front as we thought a couple days ago, but obviously a big payback spot for the Kansas City Chiefs here.
All right, my friend. Well, you enjoy the rest of your Saturday. I will talk to you tomorrow for NFL Sunday. That's going to do it for the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Keep it here on VSiN for In Game Live, coming up next on the Sports Betting Network.